إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. That's a whole bunch of Arabic for you, I know. Here comes the English part. The Prophet ﷺ used to begin his khutbahs, his gatherings, his speeches with what I've just said. And the content more or less in English is, all praise is due to Allah, we praise Him and we seek Allah's forgiveness and we ask for His assistance. And we seek refuge in Allah from our evil souls and from our bad deeds. Verily, whomever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whomever Allah leads astray because of some sickness in them, nobody can guide. Then I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of our worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. May Allah send His peace and blessings upon him, His companions, and whomever follows Him on the righteous path until the day of judgment. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would quote three different verses from the Qur'an. The first one is in Surah Al-Baqarah. O you who believe, fear Allah the way He deserves to be feared. Have taqwa. And taqwa, we said before, is doing that which Allah commanded and staying away from that which Allah forbade, hoping to protect ourselves from the punishment of Allah. The way He deserves to be feared, have taqwa the way Allah deserves to have taqwa, and do not die except as Muslims. You cannot afford to die as anything else but a Muslim, but a submitter to the one who created you, the one who you will return to. Dying on another religion or mentality or state is basically dying upon disbelief. Dying upon disbelief means loss until you cannot stop saying loss anymore. Then the Prophet ﷺ will quote a verse from Surah An-Nisa. O mankind, this is general, fear your Lord who created you from a single soul, Adam, and then from it created his partner, Eve, and from them dispersed many men and women, us, people before us, people coming after us, all of us, children of Adam. And fear Allah, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And fear Allah to whom you demand your mutual rights, and reverence the wombs that bore you. Verily Allah ever watches over you. O you who believe, a third verse, Surah Al-Ahzab, fear Allah and say a good word. He will help you accomplish good deeds. Allah, alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. And He will forgive you your sins. He will forgive your sins for you. And whomever obeys Allah and His Messenger, he has attained the greatest success. As to what follows, then the Prophet ﷺ used to say, verily the most truthful speech is the book of Allah. There's no speech on earth more truthful than the book of Allah, which has been protected by Allah. And the best guidance, the best way of doing things is that of our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And the worst of affairs, the worst of things are the things that you introduce into Islam, that you bring from your own mind or from your shaykh or from somebody else, which was not commanded by Allah and His Messenger. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, every newly introduced affair like this is an innovation. And every innovation will lead you astray. And if you are astray, you're going to go to the fire. This is the first time I translate this, because the shaykh says it every time, except for the last part. I figured it's about time I let you know what he's saying. And so he's basically following the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. The subject of this khutbah was about travel. And the shaykh began saying, it's so hot outside. And as you feel, everybody's complaining from the heat. So what happens is a lot of the local Saudis, they go out. Maybe you go back on vacation if it's your vacation time. For those who live here, they go to another place, another country, another whatever, so they can get some cool weather, some water or some other things that are not available here. So the shaykh began his speech is directed to those who intend on traveling. And he gave a few wasaya, few reminders that we need to keep in mind. The first one is at-taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَأَنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. Allah says, and تَزَوَّدُوا is basically the things that you take with you to ensure your maintenance. So you take with you your clothes, your food, it's called zad. So Allah commanded us to do that, but then He said, the best of the things that you carry, وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ, the best of things that you have with you is taqwa. So, if you are sitting at home and you're packing all your nice clothes and you have the Pierre Cardin and some fancy polo and whatever, and tying everything and putting them nice, and you have your dress code, you're looking all nice and you intend on traveling somewhere, but your heart is free from the taqwa of Allah. This particular zad is not really the most beneficial one for you. Rather, if you have barely nothing to take with you, but your heart is full and is filled with the taqwa of Allah, then Allah says this is better, khayr. So the Shaykh advised us, if we're going to travel, to make sure that we get some of that and not something else. The second advice, he said that if we want to go to a place, then let us make sure that this place is free from evil, to a certain, not free from evil, but not the most evil place on earth. For example, if you want to go to Vegas, no. Because you know what they call Vegas? They call it, the disbelievers by the way, who sin for them is nothing, because somebody already died for it. Sin City. Yeah, so they go to Sin City and they sin, and every time, the whole time they're sinning is fine. Why? Man, Jesus died on the cross for me. So I'm okay, I'm cool, I believe in Him, He's my salvation. So I could enjoy myself in Sin City, and people really go sin. And it's absolutely a gamble and alcohol. To them this is part of their lifestyle. Nonetheless, we know as Muslims this is crazy. Now that you have become Muslim, you think about it, man, this is crazy. I can't believe somebody be drunk all day, just flirting with women walking down the street, having absolutely no consciousness of his Creator, negligent about his Creator, doesn't care for his Creator. Why? Because in his, he's been brainwashed to think that somebody already paid for you. So you go to a hotel and you spend your whole time having a good time because somebody already paid for you. So you don't care. You use up the towels, you throw them out the window. That's different when you earn something, brothers, please. No speaking during the barakallahu feekum, so other people will not be interrupted. So it's different when you earn something, when you buy a shirt and you save your money for it. And so, you know, when you wash it, you make sure you put the right amount of detergent. You don't put some bleach in it. You don't want to ruin your shirt. Or somebody gives you 10 shirts. It's like, you know, you don't treat it the same way. And this is the mentality of a disbeliever who thinks somebody already paid for his sins, so he just goes in his life doing whatever is pleasing to him or her. As Muslims, we don't have this. So when you want to travel, you don't want to travel to a place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being disobeyed out in the open. Because it will affect you. It will affect one of us when we see evil around us. Then if our faith is not strong enough for us to be able to protect ourselves, then we will fall into it. So this is the advice to those who want to travel, advising the brothers not to be going to crazy places basically. The third advice that he had is that, I always forget, that's the one we just mentioned. That was later. That was in the adab after he sat down. Huh? No. Oh, here's what he meant, barakallah, close. He said, ponder upon the creation of Allah. Whenever you travel, whenever you set out to leave somewhere, don't be heedless. When you see the heavens, I mean the skies, and the moon, and the sun, and the stars, and you see the mountains, and you see the oceans, and you see the creation of Allah, make sure that you do not have a blind eye whenever you come across these things. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran praised, He spoke highly of the believers who think, yatafakkarun, who think and ponder upon the creation of Allah and say, Subhanak, oh Allah, you did not create this in falsehood. You did not create this for nothing. So actually looking at the creation of Allah is one of the means, according to the scholars, for our faith to increase. So if we are suffering from some deficiency in our iman, then we need to go and look at the creation of Allah and the perfect order in which everything is moving. Everything is in just perfect harmony. And nothing, you know, you've never seen the sun all of a sudden decided to attack the earth. All of a sudden the sun came on the earth, boom! And then it went back to its place. Oh man, what's going on here? Anything could happen anytime. Everything is in an orderly fashion, except if Allah wills for something else to happen. But in general, everything is under the command of Allah. So these are signs for us to ponder upon. So when we travel, it is actually an opportunity. It is actually an opportunity to ponder upon the creation of Allah, to get our share of the increase in iman. And then the Shaykh also advised to look at the nations that have come before us. And this is another thing that we need to be mindful at. If you go to Jordan and certain areas out there, you actually see the leftovers or the remains of the nations that came before us, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destroyed. So we are to look with an open mind into the nations that have come before us, how they came, they built, like Pharaoh and the Egyptians and the pyramids. You go over there and you see some crazy stuff. You know, these people just went out of their way and they have the mummies and they stuff them with stuff so he could live for I don't know how many years. They used to bury them with their food and gold. So they think in the next life they'll be able to utilize these things that they leave with them. But the bottom line is, where are these people now? Where is Fir'aun? And where are those who followed Fir'aun? Haman and his people, his wazir, his president, his vice president, and all these people with him, where are they right now? Everybody's gone, vanished. Not only that, Allah destroyed them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them because they rebelled against Allah and His messengers. So we look at other nations who are rebellious against Allah and His messenger, who refuse Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, either because he is not from their country, or because they like straight hair, his hair is curly, or because, so you have people with crazy ideologies, or because you know, we don't want to believe in something new that we're not sure about. I know that Jesus came and this is all I know, and this is the Bible, and this is what my mama told me, this is what my father told me, this is what my grandpa told me, this is what my community tells me. Don't try to bring me nothing new, even if it is from Allah. They tell you even if it is from Allah. These are rebellious people who want to tell Allah how they want Him to do things. I'm not satisfied with you sending another messenger. I'm only satisfied up to Jesus. And I don't only believe in Him as a messenger. No, to me He's a God. He's your son. And He's a God at the same time. Explain it, I don't know how. Make sense of it, it doesn't make sense. But this is what I want. This individual is somebody who apparently doesn't understand. So how are you going to have something come to you from Allah? Then you're going to have no. And then if you had something good that you were upon, you'll say, okay, maybe you're upon something good, so you didn't give it up to something better. But when you're upon something crazy, how are you still not giving it up for something better? That's just pride and ignorance. And so this is somebody who's not utilizing the faculties that Allah gave them, from mind, intellect, sight, hearing, and so forth. So the Shaykh was advising us, when we go out, to look into these nations that have come before us, to realize that this is something that we will be coming across as well, and to be careful of being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon His earth. And from what I remember, these were the first four wasaya that the Shaykh gave. Hadi. Dakhla fiha? Ayyu, ahsan, barakallah fiqh. Alhamdulillah. You need to come every Friday now, by the way. So we have one, two, I'll be good inshallah. Because everybody knows I always forget.
Okay.
هذا بعدين طول بالك. في أول خطبة جلس أعطانا أربع وصايا. بعدين أقام وعطى وصايا ثانية آداب. هلا هذه اللي ذكرتها في الأولى. حنذكرها الحين. بس بعدين لسه في أشياء كثيرة. جاي إن شاء الله. طيب. He's saying basically, Allah is here, not here, Allah is here, meaning watching over us above His seven heavens, and wherever you're going to travel. Because some people have this mentality, for example, some women, they cover themselves up because they're in Saudi. Because if you don't cover yourself up, you know, they might have a hayat al-amr bil-ma'ruf wa nahy al-munkar, they might come and cause some problems for you, or some. As soon as they go to another land, everything goes off. What happened? As if Allah was watching you in Saudi and Allah doesn't watch you in London? Which is basically an indication that the people are absent-minded about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh was informing us, and he gave an erasis from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who told Anas, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتِ. Have taqwa towards Allah wherever you may be. So having taqwa towards Allah is not conditional to a country, location or a state. It is everywhere upon Allah's earth. It is even in the heavens. If you're flying in the airplane, it doesn't mean that you're no longer on earth, so you're not accountable. Even if you're in the bathroom. Some people think because in the bathroom you don't mention Allah, and Allah is high above these kind of places, so that means you could do whatever you want in the bathroom, because you're not accountable. That doesn't work either. Wherever you are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. There are angels who are writing down every statement of yours, and every action of yours. Every single statement is written in a book. And on the day of judgment, it will be presented to one of us. And it will be said, اقرأ كتابك, read your book. كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. Sufficient for you is yourself and accounted against yourself. Because some people will come and say, no, this angel oppressed me. I don't want the accountability or the record of the angel. I want my own self. I want to testify against my own self. So Allah on the Day of Judgment will allow them to do so. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have their own organs speak against them. Then the hands will come and say, oh Allah, he used to do this such and such and such with me. He used to steal with me. And his feet say, oh Allah, he used to make me walk to haram places. And his mouth is saying, he used to make me say foul things. And every body part will speak against him. Then he will get mad at his own self. He says, I was defending you. You're speaking against me. Anyways, on the Day of Judgment, nothing will be escaped. So the Shaykh was saying, don't just be cautious of Allah overseas. And if you're going to travel somewhere else, then remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over you, is knowledgeable of you, and no matter where you go, you can never exit the kingdom and the knowledge of Allah. There's no escape. Wherever you may be, it is going to be under Allah's creation, and it is going to be part of Allah's knowledge. And you can never go beyond these boundaries. So then we need to be conscious of that. Then if I remember correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, as usual, the Shaykh sat down. Then he got up, and then he gave a series of reminders, which are not as a wasiyah like the beginning, but some etiquettes, the etiquettes adab al-safar, the etiquettes of travel. And among them, and I will mention them randomly, is the dua. That the Prophet ﷺ used to have a particular supplication when he would travel. And I advise you brothers, if you do intend on traveling, to get a small book called Husn al-Muslim. In English it's called the Muslim Fortress. It is like 5 riyals. We have it there. I'm not advertising the Jeddah Da'wah Center. You can get it from another library. I'm just making it easy for you. It has the Arabic, the English, and the transliteration. Meaning the way it's supposed to be said in Arabic, but written in English letters. So you'll be able to read it. And in it has all the different remembrance and supplications that the Prophet ﷺ used to use in his various occasions. So among them is the one for traveling. The Shaykh also advised that we have a good moral character, and that we treat people nicely, and that we do not be ashamed of our Islam. Be proud of your Islam. Then he gave advice to the sister, I believe it was in the second part, it doesn't matter. He gave advice to the sisters that don't be ashamed that people will look at you, criticize you, whether verbally or with their body motions. And take an example from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who also was criticized, and he was called crazy, magician, all kinds of claims. And they knew him. They knew he was among their people, the trustworthy, the truthful, the one who never came up with any outrageous things. All of a sudden they flipped against him. But he was patient in this adha, in this harm that he was receiving from his people. And that did not make him accept more proud and more stern on his deen. and on propagating Islam and the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, as Muslims, we need to have the same honor. So we are to be honored by Islam. So if you go back to the Philippines, and your family members start picking on you, how come you pray? How come you have to pray every 2 hours? How come you don't eat pig anymore? Why don't you have a cup of tequila with us? Come on, lighten up. Why do you do this? Why you let your beard grow? Why you do this? Why are your pants short? Why? You people start to, some, if a Muslim is not in his right condition, he will start getting scared. Say, okay, I'll sit down with you. Just, you know, keep it cool. Don't tell nobody else, because everybody else in Saudi knows me. I'll be in trouble with the brothers from the Jeddah Da'wah Center. So, otherwise, another Muslim say, look, you know, I know I'm upon the truth. No matter what you think, I am confident, certain, that from everything else out there, I am upon that which is pleasing to Allah. So I cannot sacrifice it for you. I cannot please you by displeasing Allah. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ taught us. He says, whomever pleases the people by displeasing Allah, Allah will be displeased with him, apparently. And not only that, but Allah will also make the people displeased with him. So you try to get along with your family members so they can be cool with you, and you wind up disobeying Allah, believe it or not, sooner or later they will still have a problem with you. No matter how much you sacrifice for their sake. I'm saying if it is haram, if it is forbidden, if it is okay and there's room in Islam, go with them. And make it easy, don't be stern and make people get afraid of Islam. So you can bring him into Islam. But if they're asking you to do, yarhamukallah, if they're asking you to do something that is clearly prohibited in Islam, this is what I'm saying, you have to take this position. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, and whomever displeases the people, whomever pleases Allah by displeasing the people, Allah will be pleased with them, apparently, and He will make the people pleased with them. So you'll find your family members honoring you and respecting you regardless. Because they see that you're a serious individual who have changed and who they honor and respect, even if they don't want to do so. Even if they cannot verbally say it. But in their eyes, you will have a position. Because you're somebody who took something and you're firm upon it. As opposed to somebody who is shaky. What other advice did he say?
Dua.
The Musafir, the Prophet ﷺ said, there are certain times where your supplication to Allah is 100% answered. Now, but there's another narration that explains what that means. Because for example, you might ask Allah for something, and you don't get it. So the shaitan will start telling you, see, you're not getting what you want. We have been told by the Prophet ﷺ that your dua is one of three things. Every time you supplicate to Allah. First of all, you will get the reward for your supplication because it is an act of worship. Whether you get what you ask for or not. But you might, there's three options. Option number one, Allah will give you what you want. Option number two, Allah will not give you what you want. Perhaps because He knows that it is not good for you. And this is very often. We ask for things that we think are good, but they're no good. And Allah knows that if we had them, we will go astray. So Allah deprives you out of mercy. Because we think it's no good, because our understanding and our knowledge of the future is limited. Whereas Allah knows. So Allah will deprive us, but Allah will have something decreed that will come upon you from some sort of trial or affliction. Your dua will make it go back up. So if Allah was going to test you through some calamity, it will no longer come. Why? Because of your dua. Even your supplication, that is. Even if you did not get what you asked for. Because Allah knew that maybe it is not good for you. And the third portion, that it will be something that will be saved for you until you go to paradise. And then suddenly when you're sitting in paradise, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits us all to paradise, some angels will come in, or some will then, some of the creation of Allah, who will, there's a lot in Jannah, they will come and give you a bunch of goodies. Say, hey, what did I do? Say, this is your dua, this is your supplication that you were performing back in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved it for you till today. So don't be despaired if you ask for something and Allah doesn't give it to you. It doesn't mean that Allah doesn't respond. It means that Allah knows better and you don't. Nonetheless, there are times where your supplication is accepted. Among them is when you are traveling. So we are encouraged while we are in the state of travel to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes? يا شيخ. Your will. If you're going to travel, make sure that you write a will. And Islamically, you are advised to have a will. Specifically, when you owe people money. One of the worst calamities that happens to a dead person is owing people money. This is why in Islam, we are advised to stay away from debt. But if you fall into debt, make sure that you write it down, and there are two witnesses. In case something happens, your inheritors, those who remain after you, will take care of your business after you die. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, the martyr who dies for Allah's sake, all of his sins are forgiven except debt. And there was a narration where the Prophet ﷺ was burying someone, and he asked, does this brother of yours, does he have any debt? So one of them said, so they said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. He says, so you pray his funeral prayer, I will not pray. So one of the companions, may Allah be pleased with him, said, O Messenger of Allah, his debt is on me. Just pray for him. Just pray the funeral prayer. So the Prophet ﷺ agreed that he prays, but this individual, this other Muslim brother, who wanted goodness for his brother who died, said, I will take care of his debt. So the Prophet ﷺ waited a few days, then he asked the brother, he says, have you taken care of this brother's debt? He said, not yet, O Messenger of Allah. Then he let him go. Then he seen him again. He said, have you taken care of your brother's debt? Then the man said, yes, I have. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, his skin just got cool. Yani he was still in that phase where he was in danger zone until you paid your debt, you paid his debt off. So the indication here is that we try not to have debt as much as possible. Sometimes your financial situation doesn't allow you. But if you're going to travel, make sure you have it in a will. I owe brother Abdul Majid, 3,000 riyals. In case of my death, to be, somebody to take care of your business, rather than people not knowing who you owe money to, who has what, who owes you. Very important to have a wasiyah. Yes. Aywa. Khalas nimshi.
He used to choose
the Muslim. But see, the Shaykh here is dangerous then. Dangerous. And he's not an Arab. Listen, the Prophet ﷺ used to like to travel on Thursdays. Morning. So the Sunnah, if you're able to fulfill it, is that you travel Thursday morning. So next time you're getting your airline tickets booked, make sure you look for a Thursday. Tayyib? And believe me, this is an act of worship. And not only that, you will be attaining Allah's love. You might think, oh, big deal. I go Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, same thing. No, Allah says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, if you claim that you love Allah, follow me. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will love you. If you travel on Thursday simply to follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you will be attaining some of Allah's love. Simply, you're traveling anyways. Unless it's going to cause you problems, then of course, it's just a sunnah. It's not an obligation where you are sinful if you do not travel on Thursday. It's just advised, a voluntary act. That's it. And then finally the Shaykh reminded us, he said, okay, look man, we've been talking this whole time about travel in this dunya. Then he said, you brothers and sisters, please be more mindful and be more conscious about the major travel, the travel where you will never come back. The final travel in your life where you will not be returning, which is the travel to the hereafter, which is death, basically. So he advised us to accumulate as many good deeds as possible, and to be mindful of this death, this major, this whole life is a travel. Anywho, we are currently in the state of travel upon this world, in this world, upon this earth. When we are traveling from the day we were created until the day of judgment, we are in a state of travel. As soon as we die, our journey ends. Then all we have to do, we'll be like in a waiting room, waiting either to be put in a nice, fancy, five-star hotel, or in a ditch with the sewers. But you're in a waiting room, and this is the grave. It's dark, there's no pillows, no mattresses, no clothes, no cell phone, nothing. You only. Not only that, the people who love you the most will walk away and leave you. No matter how much they love you, say, come on, go down with him in the grave. Say, no, I'm sorry about that, man. I love him and everything, but hey, it's not my time. Nobody will go down with you in the grave. Nobody will sleep with you there the first night to make it easy for you. Why are you dead? Say, it's okay, don't worry. It won't happen. You'll be, and we will be on our own. So this is the major travel. And we need to accumulate taqwa in this dunya, in this world of ours, and have piety towards Allah, staying away from what Allah forbade, doing what Allah commanded. So on the Day of Judgment, we will be successful travelers, and our journey will end bi-idhnillah with goodness. This is, and whatever was according pleasing to Allah was by the grace of Allah. Whatever errors and mistakes is from me and from the shaitan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam are totally free of them. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Let's bring some fresh stuff afterwards. I'm sorry. I had thought of some things, but I figured I will forget them. I will ignore them, so I will not take too much of your time, because I always take the other brother's class. The sunnah is, if there's three people or more traveling, to have an emir. Whenever there are three people traveling, you assign somebody to be the leader of the trip. طيب. And he is supposed to have some decision making after you make some shura. Also, another thing the Shaykh mentioned, before you travel, consult the people, consult your family members. Also pray istikhara, and it's also in the book, The Muslim Fortress. Meaning istikhara is to ask Allah, if this travel is goodness for me, there's goodness in it for me in my life, in my hereafter, facilitate it for me. If it is no good, then protect me from it. And then to make sure that you take care of your family members. Oh, there's a book. Show it to everybody. Raise it. This is the book. Raise it up. Please get one. And the other thing is that... I forgot. Oh, yeah, you leave your family behind with food, money, and the ability to live. So you don't just go out on a trip and leave your family behind struggling and starving. Furthermore, you do not stay beyond your trip. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, travel is barely a piece of torment. It's difficulty. You are deprived of your usual food, usual drink, you're eating, you're traveling. So whenever one of you is done with his affair, let him go back to his family. Don't stay out for too long. Also, try not to travel on your own, if you're able to do so. That's it. I think this is it. Any questions?